welcome back to the Four Fab Fatties. We are so excited this week to talk about a really fun topic. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. So before we do that, we're going to introduce ourselves, and obviously, I'm Allie.
I'm Rebecca.
Alyssa.
I'm Maria.
All right. So this week, we're talking about my favorite topic, me.
Oh my God.
That's perfect.
This is the first in our series of getting to know us, everybody. So, yeah, what?
It's already
you got lipstick on your teeth already.
It's the signature red.
It is.
My signature red loves to be on my
teeth. Yeah, if you see that red on her teeth, just know it's there with love, and you know it'll probably disappear about 10 times and come back about 10 times.
How does it
and
look
that's
now?
Part of her charm. It's gone now. You're good, girl.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so this is the first part of our 4-part series of getting to know us, mm-hmm. and I am I'm starting out my own episode.
She was voluntold.
I was voluntold that I was going first, but I did volunteer to start my own episode because I have a question for all of you.
Oh, oh. Plot twist!
That is
a plot twist. I'm like, this is not what we discussed.
How much does a penguin weigh?
32.8 pounds. You're welcome. Moving on.
That actually sounds correct.
Well, you ruined that for me.
Wait, is that correct?
No.
Oh my God.
But I do know how much. It's enough to break the ice.
Well, that
it's
failed.
Break you know
that
what?
Failed spectacularly.
You know what so. I thought you were going to ask us? How much do you love me?
I know. I was ready. I thought Allie was just going to start hyping herself up. Yeah, being like, tell me the most amazing thing about myself.
Do you think I need to hype myself up?
No, you don't.
Okay. Number one, where I was going with that was enough to break the ice. Hey, guys. so that was my go-to.
Maria won.
My
Abby zero.
Okay, that was a Maria going, that's your joke.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for that, Maria. I'm absolutely going to dunk on you on your, on your episode. That was amazing. And I don't know how to recover. Moving on. So, yeah. So that was my go-to little party line back in college. For all the boys.
That it was a very good party line.
I bet it worked.
I would walk up and be like, hey, how much does a penguin weigh? I don't know. Enough to break the ice. I'm Allie. Okay.
It'd work on me. Just say,
you
know
what? Never in my life have I delivered an icebreaker line like that. Ever.
Well, it worked about 30 times. So let's get into the questions.
Yeah, so
let's definitely
this is a
it.
New format for us. And like Ali said, it's the first of 4. So we will each have our turn at the table to be questioned. But we want to start off with a little lightning round of questions.
All right, I'm ready.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Go.
Getting into it.
Rebecca, what's your go-to Starbucks order?
Currently, the pistachio cream cold brew.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Faster.
To read people's minds. Because I'm an overthinker.
If you were a snow cone, what flavor would you be and why? If
did
you
this
were
already.
A Sonic.
Blue raspberry.
Not everyone watches these. Why?
Because it's delicious and it turns your tongue blue and
because
I like to
linger.
Because
it's obviously a little sour and not existing.
Yes.
Next question.
Favorite movie of all time?
Ooh, Goodfellas.
If you could pick to fight one horse-sized duck or 100 horse-sized... Wait. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
If you could pick to fight one duck-sized horse or 100...
No.
Yes. One horse-sized duck.
Yes.
Or 100 duck-sized horses.
Yes.
Yeah, we got there. Ellie knows. So
okay, one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses.
What you said?
100 duck-sized horses.
You're
I will
wrong.
Punt those things. Absolutely. If I have to fight them, I will be punting duck-sized horses.
Ellie, PETA is not a sponsor anymore. There goes that.
Sorry, PETA. Absolutely not.
Tell me something that would surprise us.
I am not wearing underwear.
That's not surprising to me.
Might be surprising to you.
Not me.
We used to that.
Yeah, you know, Well, dress just it. Doesn't allow it.
Oh, you survived the lightning round. You survived the lightning.
Did my lipstick.
It did.
I love that for me.
Mascara? Slightly not.
Man.
She's leaking already, but you know what? Those eyes are going to leak a little bit more.
Here's
we're going
to
get into some deeper stuff.
I am currently on a lot of prednisone, which is a steroid, and it makes me V-sweaty because I had another allergic reaction, and my face blew up again. Turns out it was not my makeup wipes. It was my hairspray.
I still don't understand how your hairspray would get your face.
It's an aerosol spray. It's a mist. So as I'm doing this, right?
No, it just feels
like on lying. My face.
Yeah.
So
now, I don't think you're lying. I just think that maybe you haven't actually figured out what is causing the allergic reaction.
No, we figured it out. Allie likes to use her hairspray as like Botox because it's in this economy, we can't afford it. So she holds these bad boys and just sprays them.
No, you do not.
No, I don't. But you gotta think, like,
the way
I
was on track.
Me too. I was like,
but yeah, like the way that I'm spraying, I probably inhaled some. Mm. Yeah, you know.
Didn't work out well.
I hate that.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very sweaty.
Well, we're going to work through it and it'll be okay. We'll just all be sweaty buddies together.
Yeah, I
love
appreciate
it.
You guys throwing me into this on my
your
prednisone
sweaty
journey. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, now we're moving into the next segment, which are more just kind of general questions about, I think, general things we want to know about each other, but not pointed to each other, because we do later on have questions specifically about Allie that are based on our knowledge of Allie. And of course, you know, as listeners, you may have been following Allie for a while. She may be a new person for you. So we're just excited to dive in a little deeper.
To dive in.
I like it. Who right. wants to ask the first question?
I don't like when I missay a word.
Leave it in.
Go for it, Maria.
Right, I'm ready.
So we've all spoken pretty extensively about the importance of finding plus size community. What's one previous idea that the community has helped you change or resculpt?
Mm. For myself?
Yeah.
So many. So many. I think probably the biggest one is that, you know, I'm not a bad person for being fat.
Yeah.
That would probably be number one for me. I think just in general that you know, that I'm worthy of living a full and beautiful life.
Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah. I feel like I could go on for like an hour about that, but that's really like the meat of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. Short and sweet. And
thanks.
And I think also
just like
just
me.
I think it's interesting because like, we do like use the word bad for like behaviors or whatever, but like to actually feel like a bad person because of that, you know? So I know that like not everyone is fat at the same like time. Like some people are fat kids. Some people aren't fat kids. They get fat in adulthood. When did you realize your body was deemed fat?
That's a good question. It was definitely in elementary school. Mm-hmm. It may have been later in elementary school, but I definitely think it was when I just started to notice that I didn't look the same way the other girls did in my clothes. And I also was like, I don't know. I also had some health problems in elementary school too. So, that's when I had like all my kidney issues. Mm. And I had like, I was born with a deformed kidney. So I had to have a bunch of reconstructive surgeries. They're both fine now. Well, whatever. But so I was like in and out of the hospital a lot. So it was more, I knew that I was different in elementary school. But there was definitely, I just knew that I looked different than all the other girls, you know?
That's so interesting because I didn't know that. I didn't know about your young kidney issues. I was also in the fifth grade, out of school for 3 months from being ill. And it was a big time where I became much more aware of my body. So like whenever you did realize that you're fat, do you remember kind of like how that made you see your body in that moment? It sounds like maybe just different, but is there anything else besides that?
I don't know if it was. No, I think because I was so young, it was just more so that I just felt different. Yeah. I felt different. I felt maybe slightly othered, you know, because I wasn't necessarily, you know, because we're in elementary school, but there's still, you know, there's already, you know, girls getting attention that I'm not getting. And you know, little comments here and there that that also, you know, wasn't just happening in school, you know, was happening around me, was happening at dinner table conversations and family events that were just that I didn't really realize then, but I realize now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I already want to go off script and ask a follow up question to that.
Yeah.
Were there any really impactful moments when you were growing up around your body? Like, is there a specific instance you remember from elementary, middle, high school about being singled out due to your size that then changed the way you behaved or moved or, you know?
Yeah. And I did. I talked about this in another episode. But there was specifically, I don't know why this sticks with me so much, but I used to do a lot of volunteering. There were air quotes there for our listeners. I used to do a lot of volunteering at my mom's office when I was younger. Mostly it was just I was going to my mom's office with her. But but I would help out around the office. And there was one day that there was some sort of like big event. My mom works for the school district. And there was some big event going on. And I was helping out at in one of the classrooms, I think. And one of the guys that worked for my mom at the time, or worked with my mom, I think I thought he was so handsome and I thought he was so nice. And he was always so kind to me. And I don't know. I had such admiration for him. And he came up to me and I want to say I was either like late elementary school or early middle school. And he came up to me and first he said that I was beautiful. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I think so highly of this man. And he said I was beautiful. I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And in the same breath, you would be so beautiful. You have such a beautiful face. You would be so beautiful if you lost weight. Mm-mm. And that for me was like, that sticks out to me. Like, I can't ever forget that. I can't ever forget the way that made me feel. And that's been my experience for a lot of my life is you have such a pretty face. You have such a pretty face. You have such a pretty face. Like from neck up, I was valuable to the world, right? Mm. And that really started there. And now it's even more like a little devastating to me because he's like a couture fashion designer and like he does not make anything above like a size 6, I think. But yeah, that really... That was it.
So we've already said the word fat.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Oh,
how
I
do
love
you feel
it.
About the word fat?
I love it.
Okay.
I used to be so scared of it. I used to be so scared of the word fat. I used to be so terrified of people knowing I was fat. I covered my body in the baggiest of clothes. I wouldn't. Are you kidding me? I would never sit like this, right? With no pillow in front of me, no bag, no nothing, no purse to shield my stomach, right? I would never wear something like this. I would never wear a dress that actually showed my body, that showed my belly, like nothing, right?
Especially without underwear.
Oh, or like especially without underwear, right? And like, it's just insane to me how far I've come from that to where it was like, please don't look at me. And the worst thing you could possibly do is call me fat. And now I have a podcast with my best friends and I call myself a fatty.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Because it's like I've reclaimed that word for myself. Yes. Like, you can't harm me with that word.
Yes.
Like, like the fuck your feelings guy, fuck your feelings
right.
guy. Because you can't harm me with that word.
So as far as fat terms go, is there any specific word or phrase that does rub you the wrong way, that does get under your skin?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Honestly, it's more, no, there's really not any specific terms, because they're just words. They're just words, words coming from insecure people, coming from very miserable, unhappy people. And I'm not like them. And that, you can call me anything you want, but you can't call me unhappy.
Right.
So, fuck off.
Ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
So, what compels you to go public with your fat voice, like your, and it's funny to call you a fat voice, but your representation, right? Like your identity, you are going, you're not just a fat woman out here just going public about other things. You're going out public about being fat.
Yeah.
What compels you to do so?
Because I spent so much time hiding. I spent so much time hiding. I spent so much time being terrified that you can think anything you want of me, but please don't think I'm fat. Please don't call me fat. Please don't look at me and see that I'm fat. Just, you can call me anything in the world. And I was so hell-bent on hiding and not being seen. And because I believed everything that society tells us, right? Everything that fat is bad, thin is good, and my body was a problem to fix. And I wasted so much time. I wasted so much time hating myself that if I can change one person's world where they stop wasting time hating themselves, it's worth it.
You did that for me.
Stop it.
You did, though. You were like truly the first person I met in real life, not on the internet, who was just so unapologetically showing up for themselves.
I wanted you to say unapologetically fat.
Yeah.
Say it.
Unapologetically fat.
Thank you.
And I went, you can do that? I went, really?
I remember that too.
Yeah.
I remember that look on your face when we went to Don Pedro.
Yeah.
And I walked right up to that host stand, and I said, there's four of us, and we want a table. Fuck those booths.
And I went, oh, shit, I like this girl. Yeah.
Well, we're not even, how far into this are we? And I'm already crying. Thank you.
You're so, so welcome.
Thanks.
I accessed before a little bit more targeted towards, you know, being fat, but I kind of wanted to really ask the question of, you know, is there a moment in your life that fundamentally shaped or changed who you are today? Like one moment where you were like really impacted. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. Okay. I'm usually the crier, but not today.
It's all right. I thought this was coming from Maria. So it's fine. I just wasn't expecting it yet. Yes. God damn it. I wasn't ready.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. On October 30th, 2022, I lost my dad. And everything changed. Everything changed for me. And I do think, maybe going back to your question too, that part of what I'm doing is for him too. Because my dad died. You know, a fat man who never was heard or seen. And I have a lot of regrets when it comes to my dad. And when I lost him and the way that I lost him and where our relationship was when I lost him is like the one regret I have in life that I can't ever change. And that changed everything for me. I quit my job. I quit my marriage. I moved to Atlanta for a little while. it changed everything. It changed everything. Was there a second half to your question?
For sure. No, but I'm trying to give you like a space to like breathe a little bit too, because it's heavy. It's really heavy. And as you were talking, I was like, that's why I feel such a call to action with the podcast. like with this space, I feel like we moved so fast from the conception to the studio.
Yeah.
You know, like forget about like just even sitting on my couch. There's just been so much energy, you know, pushing us to this space. And I just really feel it when we're all talking, you know, I just feel it's heavy. Yeah. It feels heavy to me. With the loss of your dad, what do you feel? What do you feel like really pivoted you from that moment?
I had so much growing up to do. I had so much growing up to do because I was a really angry person. I was really angry. I was really insecure. Because I had started down my healing journey, my self-acceptance, self-love, fat acceptance, body love, all of that. But I still wasn't like fully like all the way in. And mostly because I was still holding back myself, my like my whole personality. Like I was still holding back. And I think in losing him, it was just, it was this moment that like everything in my life has, I say, you know, I think in the last year, like we saw come out on the internet, like lucky girl syndrome or something. Like I've always like joked like that I'm somebody that things work out for me because I make them work out for me, right? It's not like I'm not lucky, but I make things work out for me. Things always turn out okay for me because I bust my ass and I make them work out okay for me. And I rushed to that hospital. That's not true. Actually, I'm not gonna lie. I found out my dad was in the hospital and I had to call my therapist first because my dad and I hadn't talked in 4 years. And I called my therapist. Like, I need to know what to do. I don't know what to do. Because I was afraid to open up the floodgates again. And I was afraid. And I regret that. Because by the time I got to the hospital, it was too late. He was still there, but he wasn't there. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I couldn't make okay. You know, everything works out for me that didn't work out for me. And I can't make that okay, right? There's nothing I can do to bring him back and tell him I love him and tell him goodbye, right? Yeah. So it was like that moment was just like, fuck it. You know, like I lost him. I lost him. And I'm not going to lose myself. And I'm not going to lose anything else that matters to me because I'm scared.
It happens on occasion.
You know, like I was done being scared.
Yeah. Yeah. While we are talking about your dad, I promise I will stop holding questions. While we are talking about your dad, do you want to speak to a little bit about why there was such a long period of disconnect for you guys? Yeah. Whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
Yeah, that's okay. I made the wrong choice. And I'm already ostracized from part of the family, so hope you're watching. I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to any of you or any of you and tell you that my dad was father of the year. He wasn't. There is a reason why a daughter doesn't speak to her father for 4 years. My dad was an angry person. My dad needed to go to therapy.
like most people these days do.
Everyone. I think everyone can benefit from therapy.
Period.
But my dad needed help, but my dad was also medically traumatized from years and years and years of asking for help and just being told, lose weight and we'll help you. Lose weight and we'll help you, right? And in 2018, after 33 years of marriage, my parents finally decided to get a divorce. And the divorce was really bad. It was really bad. And to me, the way it felt to me, it felt like I needed to pick a side. Mm. Either my dad or my mom and my sisters. And at the time, I was also engaged to be married. And I couldn't see moving forward with a wedding without my mom and my sisters. I didn't know how that was gonna look. I didn't know how it was gonna look. And unfortunately, I grew up being painfully aware of how things looked versus how they felt. And so I picked a side. And I'm not saying that anybody said that I had to. It felt to me like I had to. It felt to me that if I invited everybody, that there would be people that didn't come. And I didn't invite my dad to my wedding. And I can't take that back. I broke his heart, but he also broke mine.
Yeah.
My sisters were kind of done with my dad a long time before the divorce. Because again, like I said, he was an angry person. He was an angry person. My dad was a very complex person, but my dad was also fucking hilarious and so smart. And he loved music. He loved music, and he instilled that in me. And that's something I love sharing with my friends now. And his love of movies and sports that I, you know, that's totally my thing. And like, that's something that I get to share with my boyfriend now that I absolutely love. And, it used to be like the insult in our family is like, oh, you're just like him. You're just like him. And I did have a fight with a family member a few months ago. And it's like, you're just like him. And I said, that's not an insult to me anymore. Because once I lost him, I was able to look past who the angry person was. But I know that he hurt people. And I know that he hurt my sisters when he was an angry person. But I was the one that stuck around the longest with him and had the closest relationship with him. And unfortunately, sticking around the longest and being the closest to him, I also bore the brunt of a lot of his anger. And so we hurt each other, and we let 4 years go by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. But I love him very much. But there's just mascara all over my face, right?
Well, we got a little wing going.
Yeah,
but it actually looks pretty. Yeah, I just want to hold space for like that deep pain you feel, but also that deep love you feel. And I feel it. I almost have the chills. I almost had the drops of the tears. That's as close as I get, really. But I just want to recognize like it is complicated. It is complex. You have room to feel both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not black and it's not white. Me and Maria do a lot of talking about this together. Mm-hmm.
If that's something that I had to do a lot of work after I lost him. And I mean, I think it was 2 months before I lost him that I was diagnosed with BPD, borderline personality disorder, where I lived in the black and white. Everything was black and white. And I had to do a lot of work after I lost him because I went from, he was out of my life for 4 years and he was my enemy to I lost him and now he had never done anything bad to me. And so everything was my fault. And I blamed myself for a really long time. And I was so hard on myself and that it was my fault because I left him alone and he didn't have anybody, and which I know is not true. Yeah. Like, it's not my fault, but I was really hard on myself because I went from black to white. He went from being, you know, the monster under my bed to my knight in shining armor. And I had to learn. I had to do the work to learn how to live in the gray area with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I keep him in a little box in my book bag, and he goes everywhere with me. He's in the other room right now.
If your dad was still here, standing in front of you right now, what's one thing you would want to tell him?
I just would want to tell him that I love him so much. And I wish that I had spent those 4 years telling him that.
He knows. He knows.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Dad. Let's move on.
Oh my God, Allie.
Listen, you know, she has that humor and
I got it from my dad.
Yeah, you do.
And I promise you I did.
Well, I mean, I can kind of keep it similar, but keep it moving. Okay. As fat people, okay. We're often told that we're gonna die.
Oh my God!
It's true. Listen,
it's true. I can't be here. I need to go home.
I gotta go.
Mom.
What a segue!
How many times have we been told you're not gonna live until 40?
Honestly, rolling right now.
My toes are curled. I need to relax them.
Just keeping it in the same ballpark.
We all needed a laugh.
Fantastic and so unhinged.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Please go on. Continue.
Okay. So, as fat people, we're often told when we're gonna die because we're so 40. Fat. Obviously, 40.
Yes.
That's the key number. 5 years.
She's clutching her pearls.
So, as you know, we're often forced to face our mortality because it's often thrown in our faces. That said, if you knew you were going to die, what is one thing that you'd want everyone to know, and what legacy would you want to leave?
Ooh, beautiful question, Maria.
Thank you.
I would want everyone to know that I'm really a soft girl.
Can you say that a little bit closer to the microphone?
I can't.
She said she's a soft girl.
I can't.
Just one more time for the record. She is a soft girl.
Rebecca, what did she say?
That would be soft girl.
Soft girl. I think we know what your next bracelet will say.
My bracelet says cry baby. Okay.
I made it for her.
Rebecca made it for me.
I'm just honored that I didn't get it.
I've spent my whole life being hard, being tough, having that hard shell of you can't hurt me. You can't hurt me because I'm the fat girl, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've heard it all. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I have been made fun of my whole life. And if you haven't made fun of me, I've heard it in the movies. I've seen it on TV. I've read it in the magazines. Everybody makes fun of me, and not me specifically, but you know what I mean? I've heard it all. So I've been hard all my life. And then I made friends and I met this man who brought out this side of me where I got to rest. mm-hmm. where I found this space, this space for myself where I didn't have to come in guns blazing, like, all right, what am I walking into today? This is my space to breathe, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like, that is what I wish for everyone. Like, if I were gonna die tomorrow and like I had one wish, is for everyone to live in their soft girl healed era.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, snaps.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting because I think one thing that's come across in our conversation so far is how many changes had to take place for you to get to that place, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've talked about ending a very long career that you got a lot of recognition in and a marriage. To be more in alignment with your values and truths and who you want to be and what looks like a joyful life to you. And part of this meant coming to terms with society's view of success and to what extent you held on to it and what it looks like now. So I'm curious, like, what does success look like to you now?
I mean, I'm sitting in it.
Well, damn.
I had it all, right? I, quote unquote, I had it all. And then COVID hit, and I was sitting in my big, beautiful house with my Louis Vuitton bag and my beautiful car and my beautiful things and my, you know, I had my beautiful wedding and I had my beautiful husband and I had all the things. I had it all. And nothing felt good. Nothing felt good, but I had it all. I had everything I was supposed to have, everything they said that I was supposed to have. I had, you know, A plus B times whatever equals X. Like, I had the formula and like I had it, mm-hmm. but it didn't feel good. And it was like, why, what's wrong with me, right? And I did have to let go of, especially coming from an industry, being in the real estate industry, mm-hmm. coming from an industry where, like, unless your bank account looks like this, your car looks like this, and your, you know, your purse looks like this, whatever, like, then you don't mean shit, mm-hmm. right? That's what they teach you. And, like, I had to let go of things meaning success for me. And now all I care about is being happy. To me, success is being happy. Because I just spent far too much time not being happy. Mm. And it was hard. It was hard because I did have a 10-year career surrounded by people who just wanted the things, mm-hmm. you know? And I lost a lot of those people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the part that doesn't get said usually is when your values change, you decide I no longer want to be part of this system, you lose not just those things, you lose the people that went along with it.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said values because I actually specifically have this question for Allie. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, because you've been through such a big emotional transition, right? And everything that you just said, right?
Yeah.
How have your values shifted? What do you actually hold of value now?
You're looking at it. My peace. Mm. My peace, my happiness, and those in my life who genuinely want that for me. Because there were people in my life who just made me feel so bad. And I still spent so much time trying to be any version that I could to be one of them, to be accepted by them, to perceive love from them in a way that felt good to me. And none of that worked, right? The things didn't work. I had the house, I had the car, I had the bags, and I didn't impress anybody. I mean, I was impressing, I guess, people are, oh my God, you're doing so well. Like, yeah, I'm so close to the ledge here, you know? And it was just about how other people saw me. And now it's about protecting my peace, about protecting my happiness, protecting my state of mind. And making a difference. And making a difference for people like me, for people like us, who have just, who just want to be seen. Who just want to be seen. Yeah.
I like it. So you said something, and it sparked something in me.
Yeah.
You said, it don't impress me much. And I can't help but think about our girl, Shania, and you just kicking in a door. And so with that
said, let's go, girls.
I wanna get into a little bit more about Allie.
Okay.
And specifically Allie, mm-hmm. not our broader. Mm-hmm. And that just brought me to our love of music. You and I are karaoke queens.
And we do have some great car concerts.
I was going to say, the car part was on purpose, and it took me a full 0.5 seconds to get there.
It took me a full 7 seconds. It wasn't until you had a recognition that I said, I'm missing something. I was like, why did she say karaoke like that?
Karaoke.
You know when Alyssa hears you pronounce something wrong?
Then we have a problem. Yeah. It was intentional.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, oh no, Reba, pack it up.
So anyway, so we're the karaoke queens.
Yes.
So with that said, is there a specific lyric or song that really gets you jazz?
Hell yeah.
And then with that, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Okay. Great question.
We need to take a minute for all Maria's questions today.
Thank you.
Great question,
These
Maria.
These are fantastic questions. I want all of them. Just copy and paste for my episode.
And do.
Great question. So one of the lyrics that this always pops to the top of my head, one of the lyrics that I just as an angsty teenager and then as I've grown up, just...
It was never a phase.
It was never a phase. It was never a phase, Mom. Right? It stuck with me and stuck with me and stuck with me. And now, unfortunately, this band is, slightly problematic because, the lead singer got canceled, but it's fine. It's not about the band. It's about the music. The lyric is, I've seen more spine in jellyfish. I've seen more guts in 11-year-old kids. And that is just such a... fuck you lyric, and it's the way that they sing it. You know exactly how they sing it. We're like, Seymour spine a jellyfish. It's so emotional. Yes. It's so emo. It's just and you know when you're singing that song, you have someone in your head.
Absolutely.
You have someone in your head 100%.
Brad.
I'm not gonna say out loud who I think of when I sing that song, but it's yeah, it's a little closer to home. No! Oh my God, no! But anyway, it is just it's just so good. It's so angsty, and I
love it.
Hell yeah. Probably my favorite song to sing in the car. It's gotta be A Day to Remember.
I always love.
Which one, though? If it means a lot to you.
Yeah.
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 It's so good, right?
I agree.
You're not a part of this.
We're not part of it.
We have superior music.
This is
taste.
Where I'm like, girl, I know Maria about and ask me this question. I'm like, do not ask me any questions about any songs. I don't know them. It won't happen.
No, you have a sugar cult.
I don't sugar cult.
I know. That's okay. Yeah, you,
what's a sugar cult?
She's younger than us. She's a baby. She's a baby. She missed the emo phases of the
2000s. You know how I've been nice to you lately?
Oh my God, no.
You just got kicked out again. Go sit in the corner.
Well done. Canceled yourself, girl.
Oh my God, that was a great question. Thank you.
Well, on the same thread.
No, wait, but no one answered me.
It's a band.
It's a band. Thank you.
It's a band. It's a cult. It's what actually all the fat people are in, the sugar cult.
I gotta sign up.
Join now.
To one of us. One of us.
Glorifying obesity. One fat person at a time.
All right. We can have downlines. Let's make this MLM style. Like, we'll earn some money along the way.
I'm absolutely. You know what? Hey, girl.
Hey, boss
babe. Hey, boss babe.
Do you need your sugar today?
Oh, my God. That's what it's like being in the real estate industry, too. Hey, boss babe.
Okay. So we just got your music thing, and we know that you name yourself Lights, Camera, Alley. You've got a big ass.
I do.
Big tits. Big mouth. And a big dream.
I love it. Can you write my bio for me?
And I want to hear about your biggest dream for yourself.
I want to be famous.
Girl, I want to hear more about that. I want to hear it. Like, what is your dream fame scenario?
I'm going to have a stand-up special on Netflix.
Okay.
100%.
Yes.
I'm hilarious.
You are hilarious.
I need to go back to doing stand-up. It's been a while. But yeah, I want to have a stand-up special on Netflix.
Okay. That was one of my questions. Girl. So let's get right into it.
Yes!
So we all know you do stand-up. Mm-hmm. What's one of your favorite jokes?
Oh my God. My favorite joke. Ooh. I think it's my Hillary Duff joke. My Hillary Duff, I told it in one of our episodes already.
Give us, they may not have watched it.
I was say, it's the how much does a penguin weigh joke. I was going to be like, maybe we need some new content for that Netflix special.
Although I will say that the comedy scene is so... it's a sausage fest, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things to do when I get up, as soon as I get up on the stage, is because usually there's been at least 10 men that have been complaining about women the entire time.
I was literally about to say this is my favorite.
My favorite thing is to get up and just be like, hey guys, I'm Allie, and are the men in this room okay?
Are you
okay? Like, maybe get off Tinder, go get some fresh air, and report yourselves to the police, because this is not okay. but yeah, I do. I have a joke about my bat mitzvah. A little Jewish kid. My bat mitzvah being a chunky 13-year-old. My options for my bat mitzvah dress were a little limited. And while all my friends were shopping, you know, for their outfits to come to my bat mitzvah at the normal stores, if you will. My mom took me to Stein Mart. And if you've never been to Stein Mart, congratulations. So, needless to say, all of my friends showed up to my bat mitzvah looking like Hillary Duff. And I showed up in a suit looking like Hillary Clinton. And I love that for me.
I just imagine you like taking your collar and be like, pop, pop, it's bat mitzvah time.
Baruch atah Adonai.
You said that, I was like, welcome to my bat mitzvah, bitches. We're getting down to business.
The other really devastating thing about that, though, is that I went into the hairstylist that morning with like a vision, right? An absolute vision. I was like, okay, I want this.
At 13?
Yeah.
Girl,
like, I want this part of my hair back in like little twists. And then the back of it, I want big curls. It wound up looking like cornrows and like a Jew afro in the back. It was not a good look. Aww. It was not great.
So what you're saying is next episode, we're going to do your hair like that. We're going to make those dreams come true.
But will I find a picture? I will.
No, I meant we're going to make the real dream come true.
We're not doing that. Building dreams and crushing dreams. You know, it's all a balance.
No. Hillary Duff.
It worked. I have a question I want to ask, but it brings us back into a little bit of a heavier place, and I kind of like where we are. I know. Oh, what's my issue? As your friend, we've actually not talked about this a lot. It has come up in conversation as a fact, but never have I actually, you know, dug a little deeper. But you've shared now with us and with the podcast, our listeners, viewers, that you have BPD.
Yeah.
Surprise!
To me too, yeah.
There are stereotypes around mental illness to begin with. So let's just acknowledge and leave space for that. However, anxiety and depression have become more mainstream,
sure.
A little bit more easy for people to digest and understand. Mm-hmm. What really impacted you from that diagnosis? What do you think people feel about it? What does it look like living with it? I want to know more.
Yeah. It definitely was, it was a big slap in the face. That turned my life upside down. Because there's a lot of stigma around BPD.
Yeah.
I am 99.9% sure that my father also had BPD and just went undiagnosed. Because it would explain a lot. there's a lot of stigma around BPD. There is a lot of harsh language around BPD, a lot of just misconceptions that everybody with BPD are abusers and aggressive and just absolutely unhinged and unsafe people. And I will readily admit that not all of those things are untrue if you don't do the work.
Mm.
But it's not necessarily like in a way that like, oh, I would have hurt you in the past, right? Not physically. Mentally? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I was hurt. Because I had been hurt. And because of my lived experiences and the way my brain processed those lived experiences, I decided that all of those lived experiences, okay, well, that's going to happen every time, right? So the black and white, it's very much living in the black and white of, okay, well, every time I've been in a situation like this, it's happened this way, and so I can't trust you. Because you remind me of this person and you're not safe. You're not safe. You're not safe. You're not safe. You're obviously doing something bad. I don't know what it is, but you remind me of this person. So you're a horrible person. And like just prejudging and having preconceived notions about everything, about people, places, things. Just, I wasn't living my life because I was future pacing every problem, right? And I still have to work on that. I still have to fight through that. I'm still doing the work, right? But it is something that I would encourage people if they, you know, if they feel like they, you know, might have any inkling that they feel any of those things, like look into it because it is worth exploring, worth getting a diagnosis and doing the work. There is no medication that's specifically for BPD. There is no treatment that's specifically for BPD. There are treatments that are used for a myriad of mental health things, mental health diagnoses, DBT, EMDR. There's there's all kinds of things, right? But there's nothing specifically for BPD because it's very... very complex, extremely complex. I will say it is incredibly loud in my head all the time. All the time. I have to do a lot to get it to be quiet, and it's still like adult roar.
Yeah.
But I've learned to work with it.
How do you see it showing up in your everyday, your day-to-day? Or do you not anymore?
Not so much anymore. It used to affect me so, so badly with my, insecurities.
Mm.
I let it tell me that, you know, everyone was unsafe. Everybody was talking about me. Everybody was against me. Everything was pointed at me. Everything was, you know, somebody was talking about somebody, but they were really talking about me. And I was very insecure, extremely insecure. And it wasn't just because, you know, I was a fat kid and, you know, all those things. It was also because of the things that my brain told me, you know? But I have done a lot of healing, but it's something I'm going to have to fight every day and continue to work on.
As your friend, just as an outsider to your brain, right? I don't get to see in there. What I notice and probably what I would say is the biggest change in our friendship, having known you for a couple years now, but really probably getting most close in the last 5 months or so, is really seeing the way you do work through those. So like you might have an initial thought, but you're willing to kind of chase that thought and say like, is this reality? Should I ask more questions? How am I feeling about it? What's that feeling coming from? And you often include us in that processing. And I think it's helpful. It's a modeled processing for me personally, because I deal with anxiety and I internalize things and I say something's a reality. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I should ask them. Who would have thought? But, you know, I see you walking yourself through it. Right. And I think that is a learned thing to know how to walk yourself through it, but also like a giving yourself grace of like, it might take me a little bit to process this and see where I land. And I still might end up with the conclusion that someone's not safe. Like that conclusion's not necessarily a false conclusion. Right. Yeah. But I'm going to interrogate why I'm feeling this way and think it through. And I'm as an outsider again, who has never dealt with BPD, but who still sometimes struggles to solve my own problems. I'm impressed. I admire your ability to do so.
Yeah. You know, what's wild to me is that the person that's been most influential in my like BPD journey and helping me quiet my brain, I call him the calm in my storm, is James. Mm-hmm. And he's 26. Yes, my boyfriend is 26.
Gross.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Like, not the age thing.
She's just grossing in general that you have a boyfriend yeah, and you're in love. Yeah,
obviously. No. A hot young thing. This 26-year-old kid, he is the calm to my storm. He has taught me so much. He just has this way of taking all of those voices, all of those noises, that loud, loud noise in my head, and just telling it to shut the fuck up. I don't know how he does it, but he just has this way. And it's just, it's so profound to me. And it has shown up in so many ways. I mean, even like you just said, like getting closer to you two was like, I was the barrier for myself. Because I used to be like, oh, they're hanging out without me. They hate me. Mm. They're doing something without me. They hate me. No, I wasn't available. Or for a long time after my dad died, I didn't do anything. I didn't leave my house. I didn't get up off my couch. This was shortly after I met you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to hang out with you too, but I couldn't. I didn't person for a while. I didn't people. I didn't know how to person for a while, right? And so for a long time, you know, you guys invited me and I didn't come, right? And it was still like, I was internalizing like, oh, they hate me. They probably hate me because they're doing this and they're doing this and they're best friends and now I'm not, you know, whatever. And none of that had anything to do with you two. But I drove a wedge, right? Before I left for Atlanta, I felt like I had like totally thrown away our friendship. I never told you guys that. I'm telling you now.
But can like, I be honest? I felt like you did through.
I know.
Because I really felt slighted in that moment. I felt like here you were hanging out with other people, but then you gave us 3 days heads notice. And I was like, well, fuck me. I don't matter. I'm glad she got to spend time with those other people, but I didn't matter. I know.
No.
It's fine.
I was literally like, I was so insecure. Mm-hmm. I was so insecure. I had decided by that point that you guys hated me. because I kept saying no to hanging out. I kept saying no, kept saying no, kept saying no, because I couldn't. And then by the time that I finally was like, I think I can, I didn't know how to reach out.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. It sucked, though. It sucked. I'm glad we're better now.
I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I joked with Alyssa about this, and I said, I don't think you realize when you came into the friend group, it fundamentally changed the friend group. And I don't know what it was about that moment, or if it was just something was aligned. Something was aligned, but it was almost like Allie dropped the wall. Allie accepted that we were her friends. You were now there. You were able to somehow help us all just communicate in a more authentic way. And it just happened. Things aligned. Because it's never, ever that we didn't, right?
No.
I know.
In fact, for me, it was like, I liked you so much. And I was like, she hates me. Like, why doesn't she want to hang out with me? Like, we're trying. Like, I just keep trying. And it's like doors in my face. And it was like, well, what am I doing?
And that's one of the hardest things I learned, was that as much as I was hurting other people. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. It has been.
I get it. I have depression. I know how it goes. There's some days when you just can't, and it's hard to explain, and it's hard to justify, and it's hard to validate and explain why you're feeling the way you do. And I'm so happy that we're at a point where we are communicating and saying, you know, today is not a great day. Like, I'm struggling. Like, I'm barely personing.
Yeah.
I'm an alien.
And we don't have it perfect.
No, guys. By
like,
any
we
means.
We do not have it perfect. I think the difference now is, A, we are more truthful with each other, right? And so, to me, there's an expectation of truthfulness. That just means you're going to have to lay it on the table. But also, a dedication to the friendship. That means we're going to work through it if we don't have a good moment.
Well, and we've just decided that we are our safe space, right? And that has been truly fundamental for me, is understanding and cultivating safe spaces, and understanding that I can have safe spaces, because I didn't have safe spaces growing up. Not at home, not at school, I didn't have safe spaces. And I don't say that in a, like, I wasn't physically abused or anything. I just, for my mental health, for my emotional well-being, I did not have safe spaces. My parents were fabulous parents when it came to my physical needs. My physical needs were 100%, 1 million percent met. There's never a question about that. I have learned as an adult that it was absolutely 100% okay for me as a child to have emotional needs and to say that they were not met. Mm-hmm. And I understand now that it's up to me to make my safe spaces that I didn't have. Because there is still a little girl in there that just wanted someone to let her cry and someone to let her be happy and to not be told she was too dramatic or too sensitive or too loud or too whatever, you know? So
I said big, but I didn't say too much. Notice the difference.
There is definitely a difference.
Yeah.
Originally, we were going to end this episode by asking you, Allie, what you would want people to take away. But as I was listening, I want to reverse that question. And I'm going to ask the three of us what we are taking away and or what you hope that listeners take away about Allie. And I don't want to start.
I'm good with starting if you're okay. Okay, yeah. I'm going to do two. I'm going to say, what do I take away from Allie? And then also what I hope listeners will also kind of key into. I think one of the things, the best things I take away, and I hate for you, how the change was spurred. But I do take away, like, just an awesome narrative, like, our lives can change based on our decision and our just absolute want and need for something else. and that we can decide what that is and continue making changes that are more in alignment with who we are. And it's not too late. It might come when we don't want it or in a way we don't want it. And yet that direction can be a very positive one for us. And I'm happy for you that you've had that change in your life. I think the other thing that what I hear, and especially in that last little bit that we talked about, is how much like each of our individual stories matter. But as we come together, as we sit and we communicate and talk about these things, and our friends, of course, outside of the podcast, first and foremost, like we affect each other. We are part of each other's lives in very big, real ways. And that affects who we are and who we get to be. And to be so lucky, right, to have a friend group that you want to affect who you are. But I think it just makes me feel really grateful for that.
I completely agree. Something that we didn't really touch on, but I do want to hit real quick. You're our little confidence creator. You inspire us to, lead authentically and just be ourselves and like live in that moment.
It's like the nicest thing you can say to me.
So I am just really grateful for that. And I do want the listeners to take that away.
Thank you.
And then I'm just really thankful we had that little moment, because that was like something that was sitting there and kind of like staying with me for a while, like not as a resentment, like I don't know the word I'm looking for right now, but like as a lingering,
an unspoken
like little moment that was like an unspoken barricade. Not that there was like a huge one or anything, or like that, not that we weren't close, but like I know, but it was like a little, like I felt like a door unlatched. And so that was really nice that we actually spoke it. So I'm learning that like in us, in our group, in our, little community, that we do really need to like express all the little things and like be very open and honest with one another and like don't leave it unsaid. Don't leave it on the table. Like get it out there and so that you can move forward. Because I think a lot of times, especially as fat women, we do hold it in because we have to be so strong. We have to be so brave. We have to be hard. We have to have that shell. And we don't get to be that soft girl. And being the soft girl is doing the hard work. And it's opening up when you don't want to. And so I think that's really important. And
I'm like so proud of you right now. I'm beaming at you.
Y'all make me have feelings and y'all make me need therapy. And I don't
appreciate it. You guys are just so beautiful. You really are just all such beautiful people. I don't even know if I can talk anymore. I want one episode where I don't cry. Like,
good luck,
baby.
Maybe it's the studio.
Oh my God. No, my friends will tell you that it's just me.
We're going to give you this bracelet.
Honestly,
we're gonna have to pass it around.
I'm so over it. I told my therapist, I'm like, I'm going to stop coming because I'm over this feeling emotion thing that you talk about.
All right, wrap us up, Alyssa.
I know. You talking about the loss of your dad was really impactful. And I know I voiced it a little bit in the moment, but I've been feeling... I've been starting to question a lot of things in my life. And I think hearing you talk about the loss of your dad and how you're moving forward really helped me put like the words of like call to action in place. And I just feel such a call to action that it's so crazy that a man who was overweight was so ostracized from society to the point like of like not leaving your house because you're like not getting the medical care that you need. And for people on the internet and just in society to think that that is like someone put themselves in that position and wants to live like that. Like that's, it's just.
Or deserves it.
There's such a disconnect that I'm in the place right now where I'm like, I just want the fat army and I just want to, completely take down diet culture, and I want to completely restructure medical facilities. And I know it's big fluffy dreams, but just you're talking and I just am like, damn, I just feel such a call to action with everything we've done so far. That is my biggest. Yeah, that's my, I don't even know. I just am.
I'm like, there is very much like, I will avenge his death.
Yeah.
Because I do feel that the system failed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think what I want everyone to know is that while we put out funny videos and we hang out, we definitely fight and we upset each other and we say the wrong things and the group chat gets spicy.
I say a lot of wrong things.
But I think what's so amazing that I want people to know is that there is, from everyone in this group, there is ownership and
compassion
and the willingness to do better and just move forward in love. And that's what I love, is that we've not only created a space that's safe, but we've created a brave space where you can be brave enough to say or do the wrong thing and be met with compassion. And I think that is the most amazing thing. So I think you guys are pretty great.
You know what else?
What?
We're fab.
We're fab.
We're four.
And we're friends.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.